The voice read his order back to him and then finished. Your order comes to 690, sir. Please drive through. You bet, Billy said. That's what it's all about, isn't it? Just driving through and trying to pick up your order. He laughed again. He felt simultaneously very fine and like vomiting. The girl handed him two warm white bags through the pickup window. Billy paid her, received his change, and drove on. He paused at the end of the building and picked up the old road map with the hand inside it. He folded the sides of the map under, reached out the open window, and deposited it in a trash barrel. On top of the barrel, a plastic Ronald McDonald danced with a plastic grimace. Written on the swinging door of the trash barrel were the words, "Put litter in its place." That's what it's all about, too, Billy said. He was rubbing his hand on his leg and laughing. Just trying to put litter in its place. And keep it there. This time he turned east on Union Street, heading in the direction of Bar Harbor. He went on laughing. For a while he thought he would never be able to stop, that he would just go on laughing until the day he died. Because someone might have noticed him giving the Nova what a lawyer colleague of Billy's had once called a fingerprint massage, if he had done it in a relatively public place, the courtyard of the Bar Harbor Motor Inn, for instance, Billy pulled into a deserted roadside rest area about 40 miles east of Bangor to do the job. He did not intend to be connected with this car in any way if he could help it. He got out, took off his sport coat, folded the buttons in, and then carefully wiped down every surface he could remember touching and everyone he might have touched. The no-vacancy light was on in front of the Motor Inn's office, and there was only one empty parking space that Billy could see. It was in front of a dark unit, and he had little doubt that he was looking at Ginelli's John Tree room. He slid the Nova into the space, took out his handkerchief, and wiped both the wheel and the gear shift. He got the pie. He opened the door and wiped off the inside handle. He put his handkerchief back in his pocket, got out of the car, and pushed the door with his butt to close it. Then he looked around. A tired-looking mother was squabbling with a child who looked even more tired than she. Two old men stood outside the office talking. He saw no one else, sensed no one looking at him. He heard TVs inside motel rooms, and from town, barroom rock and roll cranking up as Bar Harbor's summer denizens prepared to party hardy. Billy crossed the forecourt, walked downtown, and followed his ears to the sound of the loudest rock band. The bar was called the Salty Dog, and as Billy had hoped, there were cabs, three of them waiting for the lame, the halt, and the drunk, parked outside. Billy spoke to one of the drivers, and for $15, the cabbie was delighted to run Billy over to Northeast Harbor. "I see you got your lunch," the cabbie said as Billy got in. "Or somebody's," Billy replied and laughed. "Because that's really what it's all about, isn't it? Just trying to make sure somebody gets their lunch." The cabbie looked dubiously at him in the rearview mirror for a moment, then shrugged. "Whatever you say, my friend, you're paying the tab." A half hour after that, he had been on the phone to Heidi. Now he lay here and listened to something breathe in the dark. Something that looked like a pie, but which was really a child he and that old man had created together. Gina, he thought almost randomly. Where is she? Don't hurt her, that's what I told Ginelli. But I think if I could lay my hands on her, I'd hurt her myself, hurt her plenty, for what she did to Richard. Her hand. I'd leave that old man her head. I'd stuff her mouth full of ball bearings and leave him the head. And that's why it's a good thing I don't know where to lay my hands on her, because no one knows exactly how things like this get started. They argue about that, and they finally lose the truth altogether if it's inconvenient, but everybody knows how they keep on keeping on. They take one, we take one. They take two, and we take three. They shoot up an airport, so we blow up a school, and blood runs in the gutters. Because that's what it's really all about, isn't it? Blood in the gutters. Blood. Billy slept without knowing he slept. His thoughts simply merged into a series of ghastly, twisted dreams. In some of these he killed, and in some he was killed, but in all of them something breathed and pulsed, and he could never see that something because it was inside himself. Mystery death may have been gangland slaying. A man found shot to death last evening in the cellar of a Union Street apartment building has been identified as a New York City gangland figure. Richard Ginelli, known as Richie the Hammer in underworld circles, has been indicted 3 times for extortion, trafficking and sale of illegal drugs, and murder by New York state and federal authorities. A combined state and federal investigation into Ginelli's affairs was dropped in 1981 following the violent deaths of several prosecution witnesses. A source close to the Maine State Attorney General's office said last night that the idea of a so-called gangland hit had come up even before the victim's identity was learned because of